Warning, the following content contains spoilers from Solo, A Star Wars Story, so if you wish not to be spoiled about it, please go watch the movie, then come back and listen to this podcast. Without further ado, let's get started with Spoiler Alert.
I'm Geeks Galaxy,
and I'm Dope Cereal,
and welcome to Spoiler Alert, the show where we spoil anything
and everything in life.
Today on Spoiler Alert, we go over Solo, Star Wars Story, we review the movie, go over Easter eggs, and possible future of the franchise.
So, the movie starts out with young Han Solo escaping from a deal gone bad in a type of vehicle. He was doing the deal all for... someone he worked under name of Lady Proxima.
Deal was for hyperspace fuel, and apparently the rival gang didn't want to pay for it, so they stole all the product. But in the end, Solo got a piece of the hyperspace fuel and kept it. He was going to keep it so that him and his girlfriend could get off the planet of, what was the planet's name again?
Corilla.
Because it was just a place for all gangsters and everything. There was no future for them on the planet. So Han decided that he was going to go ahead and work away so that they can buy a spaceship and just leave the planet for good. Well, after the deal goes bad, there's gangsters that comes looking for Solo.
And they end up... He hides away from them, and he's talking to Kira, which is his girlfriend.
Yeah, I would say his girlfriend.
And he's telling her, you know, I got this hyperspace fuel, we can trade it, get money, get a ship, and get out of here. And she's like, okay, let's do it. Well, as they're, you know, leaving, Han's caught and is taken to Lady Proxima. And she talks about how he has failed her many times. And
this is the end of it. She's going to punish him.
She's starting to punish him. And
Henchmen.
Yeah, they start to beat him up and hit him with a stick.
Yeah, it's like a stick
thing.
It doesn't electrocute him. They're just smacking him
with it. Yeah, they're just hitting him with it. And Kira comes out of the crowd and... What is it she does?
She's about to tell him about the hyperspace fuel. And Han does a funny thing right here. He pulls a rock out of his jacket and says it's an ion bomb. And he makes a clicking sound with his mouth saying he's a... started the countdown for it. And the Lady Proxima's like, no, that's just a rock. And apparently she's allergic to sunlight, too. Because he throws a rock at the window, busts it, and a beam of sun comes through, and it goes on her face and starts to burn it and everything. She goes back into the water she comes out of.
Yeah. And they are able to escape, but one of her, like, right-hand men, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Is chasing after them, and they're in another type of vehicle. And one really cool part about that is when they were going towards, you know, the closed-in space.
Yeah.
And he's able to, like, put it up on its side.
Yeah.
But doesn't get all the way through it, you know, gets stuck.
Yeah, it shows how cocky he is, because their speeder is not as fast as the one coming up on them. And Han's just all like, nah, I got this, it's fine, just hold on tight. And there's a little narrow opening, and he turns the speeder sideways and tries to get through it. Well, you expect it to go through, but Han, knowing Han, it gets stuck right at the end. And he has these weird type of dog things with him that he sends after them. So they get out and they run out to because they were on their way to a spaceport to get off the planet for good. And they get inside of it, and it's just people just trying to leave the planet and stuff. And there's Imperial guards there getting people who's trying to leave illegally. And they're trying to get through the crowd, and then they look behind them, and that guy's there. So they work their way up to the ticket booth, and Han successfully bribes the Ticketmaster lady. He's like, hey, I got this hyperspace fuel, you know. I'll trade it for you for two tickets to go through. And they have this stare down, and the guy starts to get closer. So he drops it in the little container thing she opens up. She opens the door. They both get through, except someone grabs the girl. It's one of the Lady Proxima's men.
Yeah.
And so Han's on the other side. The door closes. She's screaming for him to go. And the men sees him on the other side. So they start coming. And he takes off running, and what does he do? He hides behind a bunch of crates, doesn't he?
Yeah, on another type of ship, I'm pretty sure.
And the Empire's on to him, so they're looking for him. And he's got no more money, he's got no way out, and he's heartbroken at this point. And so he decides, I'm going to leave this planet, get some money, come back, and get Kira. And
he ends up joining the Imperial fleet, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sees a little sign on the doorway that says, join the Imperial Army today, be a pilot, be whatever you want, really, which they're lying to you. And it's pretty funny because it plays the Imperial March in there, which is a cool Easter egg because that was made by, I can't remember his name, but he made it for the Star Wars movies, and it's pretty cool that it actually exists in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And so he goes and he enlists, and they ask him what his last name is, but he don't have one.
Yeah. And so it was the guy behind the man, you know, signed him up for it, you know, asked him what his name is, he tells him Han, and he's like, last name, and, you know, Han doesn't know what his last name is, and the guard guy just goes, Solo it is.
Yeah, because he's got no family, so he's just like, okay, Han Solo.
Yeah.
Then we fast forward 3 years, Han's on a planet fighting for his life. He doesn't even know what he's fighting for.
No.
We see a cool new trooper, type of trooper. It's like an old World War II looking type trooper gear that's Han's wearing.
Yeah.
And he notices there's like these guys on the planet, and they're pretty badass looking. They're killing people left to right, and like they fall all in a trench, and the dad's like, who's in charge here? And they're like, you are, Captain. And he's all like, Captain, you know, thinking it's a question mark. And so they get through the battle and stuff, and at the end, Han's talking to the guy that helped him, the captain. And he's like, you know, thanks for the help back there and stuff. And the guy's like, you talk too much. Just go away from me. I don't want to talk to you. In which we find out something about them in the next scene in the movie.
That we find out that they're not even working for the Imperial Army. They're just there to steal.
Yeah, they're criminals.
They're criminals as well. And we meet, what's his first name? It's played by Woody Harrelson.
We know his last name's Beckett.
Yeah, I don't remember his first.
But they call him mostly by Beckett in the movie.
Yeah, we meet Beckett, Val,
and Rio, right?
Rio, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the part, you know, before, you know, Han confronts him about being criminals, he notices that Rio is losing his pants, and two little arms come out of the back of his shirt and pull his pants up.
Yeah.
And that's one way he confronts him.
Han wants off the planet. He wants out of the Imperial Army. They lied to him. He got kicked out of flight school for having a mind of his own.
Yeah. And he wants to join Beckett and the crew. And Val's telling him, you know, like, no, we don't need him.
No, yeah, we don't need another hand. He's not even important at all.
Yeah, and then, you know, Han goes, well, you know, if you don't let me join, I'll just go tell the general over there that, you know, who you guys really are. And Beckett's like, what is he? He says something right there, and he calls the general over and tells them that Han was
the traitor.
The traitor,
he's trying to leave the army.
Yeah.
And they're all like, yeah, we knew it. This one's a troublemaker.
And they take him to the monster.
Yeah, they call him the Beast. And they put chains on Han, and a big long chain on him, too, and throw him into this pit. And like it's a mud pit. And we hear groaning, and the chain starts pulling, and Han starts sliding. Sounds like a big beast coming out from the
like right the there, shadows. I thought it was going to be a Rancor or
something. Yeah, that would be pretty cool if it was a Rancor.
Pretty cool, but and then, you know, comes out of the little cave part, and it's Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Well, a Wookiee. We don't know it's Chewie at first.
Yeah, we don't know if it was or a different one.
And
they start fighting, and it's a pretty cool fight sequence. Like, he picks Han up and just throwing him all over the place. He wants to eat him. He's hungry. They said they haven't fed him for 3 days.
Yeah. And, you know, as, you know, he's getting his ass kicked by Chewbacca, Han notices that the metal beam holding one of the doors up, well, one of, like, the cage parts up,
yeah,
is, like, starting to collapse, because that's what they're connected to by chains. And he can speak Wookiee.
Yeah, he speaks a little Wookiee.
And he's talking to Chewie, and he tells him, you know, if you help me, we can get out of here.
Yeah. He's all like, make it look good. Act like you're fighting me. We're going to knock this pole down.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what they do. And
they start fighting. And the pole's not going down. So, like, Han says something along the line, like, you stupid Wookiee or something like that. He pisses him off. And he throws Han into the pole. And the pole collapses.
And it knocks down the two guards on top.
Yeah. And, like, the whole cage thing comes in. They got a way out. And Han's all like, you know, I got friends over here that will help us get off this planet. Follow me. But Chewie doesn't want to do that. He just wants to get off the planet, find more Wookiees.
And so he makes him, you know, he talks to Chewie and gets him like, come with me. And once we get with these people, we can get away. So Chewie goes with him, and we see a ship leaving. And it's got Beckett, Val, and Rio on it.
Yeah, they're surprised to see Han.
Yeah, and...
especially with the Wookiee, too.
Yeah, and Rio sees... you know, like, we could use muscle on our team.
Yeah.
We need the Wookiee. They're not talking about Han at all.
Yeah, they don't really care about Han.
And, you know, he's asking Becky, like, you know, do we go back down and get him? And Val's like, no, we don't need them. You know, it's just us. And Beckett's like, you know, put the ship down. Let's grab him.
Yeah.
And so they're finally on the ship now.
And then we get this hilarious scene with Han. He's taking a shower trying to get the mud off of him. We see his feet. Then all of a sudden we see two furry feet step in the shower with him. And it's Chewie. He gets in the shower with Han, and Han's like, you couldn't wait a moment? And then Chewie takes the water and starts spraying himself with it. They get all cleaned up and stuff, and Han's outside the ship. And then Chewie comes out, and he's all like, the only reason I'm here is because they wanted you. They didn't want me. And Chewie tells him something. I don't know what he told him. And he's all like, what's your name? And he goes, makes the noise, and he's like, Chewbacca. And then he's like, okay, we need to think of a nickname. I'm not calling you Chewbacca all the time.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what planet they go to. It's a snow planet.
Yeah.
But they decide to let Han join in on the heist they're doing. They're going to lift a whole freight train load of hyperspace fuel.
Yeah.
And they're sitting around a campfire, and it's a little calm before the storm. They're talking about what they're going to do with their cut and stuff, and if Han starts doing this, he's going to help them out and for life, pretty much. And Han's like, okay, I'm good with that. And Chewie's okay with it, too. And they start talking about what they're going to do with the cut. And Rio's just all like, I'm going to go to a nice planet, open up a space bar or something.
Yeah.
And Val and Beckett are ready to retire. Han's all like, he's going to buy a spaceship, go back to his planet, get his girlfriend, and go away.
Yeah.
And Chewie, he's actually got a heartbreaking story. Turns out after the events of Attack of the Clones that all the Wookiees were... enslaved by the Empire for helping out the Jedi. So they're all scattered across the galaxy, and he's going to take his money and try to find a Wookiee lady.
And in the next scene, we see Han Solo, Beckett, and Val all kind of like scouting out the train tracks. And the plan is, you know, Beckett, Han, and Chewie are going to get on the train, and Val is going to set up, you know, explosives at... the entrance to the mountain where it goes in at.
Make it look like an accident.
Yeah. And Rio's going to be flying, you know. And they get over, and Rio drops Han, Chewie, and Beckett off on the train. And as they're trying to make their way up to the cargo, where the, what is it called, that they're stealing?
The hyperspace fuel.
Hyperspace fuel. As they're making their way up to that part, three stormtroopers?
Yeah, three stormtroopers come out on the train.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of hard for Beckett and Chewie and Han to fight because, you know, they have nothing to keep themselves stable on top of the train.
Yeah, stormtroopers, and the stormtroopers have, like, magnet boots.
Yeah, like magnet boots, basically. And Beckett's trying to hold them off while Chewie and Han detach the half of the cart that the stormtroopers are on. So they're able to get, you know, away from them. And as they're, you know, setting up the cables to the train, or the one part of the cargo, and Val's trying to set up the bombs, the jammer that they had on the security goes out.
Yeah.
And so these little...
protocol droids.
Yeah. They come out, and they're getting ready to go towards Han, Beckett, and Chewie. and Val starts shooting at them to get their attention.
Yeah, because if they get near Chewie, Han, and Beckett, what those kind of droids do is they take video feed or pictures and sends it back to the Imperial base so that they can have photo IDs of what they look like.
Yeah.
And trying to stay secret, she shoots at them while trying to stay hidden herself.
Yeah. And, you know, she lets them know that that's going on, so they're trying to hurry up. And then Enfys Nest shows up.
They're their rival organization.
Well, it's the one person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's, or, that character is,
the leader of leader the group.
Leader of the, they call him Pirate something.
I don't remember. Off, like,
but
off that.
They're the leader of that group, and, they're there to steal the hyperspace fuel from them. Let them do all the hard work, and then come in and steal it from, Beckett.
And so they're trying to fight off them as well. And next, you know, Val lets Beckett know she has to go ahead and do it, or else it's not going to go correctly, because they're getting too close.
Yeah.
And she pulls out the detonator and blows that part of the bridge that she's on.
Yeah.
Which ends up, you know, killing her.
And Rio gets shot, too.
Yes, I forgot. One of the pirates make it up in the ship and shoots Rio, and Rio's able to kill him. But, you know, he's starting to, you know, go down.
Yeah, starting to die himself.
Yeah, and so Han makes it into the ship and, you know, tells Rio he's going to be fine.
No, it's going to be all
right. And Rio knows he's going to die, and right there you have that little sad moment where Rio dies.
Yeah, he tells Han, he's all like, kid, I'm going to tell you something. It's not fun to die alone. Don't do it. Get yourself a, you know, get yourself a family.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
Yeah. And Han's able to take over the ship, and the pirates are starting to take out the cables that they have attached to that cart. And, you know, they tell Chewie, like, you got to detach this cart by yourself.
Yeah, because like, they got to hold off. Beckett's got to hold off the pirates.
Yeah. And Chewie, you know, being the badass he is able to pull the cart off
just in time,
and one of the cables is already missing, so yeah. It's kind of like, you know, wonky.
One's on their ship, one's on Infinus's.
Yeah, they have cables connected to it as well, and they're coming towards a mountain.
Yeah, they're one's trying to go one way, because, one's trying to go the other way.
Yeah, because Chewie and Beckett are on the cargo, and the pirates are trying to go one side, and Han's like, I don't have enough time. We're gonna have to drop it. And Beck is telling him, you know, don't drop this. You know, we need this. And, you know, Han's like, Chewie, grab Beckett and grab onto a cable. And, you know, Chewie does just that, and he detaches. And the Enfys Nest don't have enough time either, so they have to detach. And they go their own way, and Han's able to get out of there. And that cool scene right there where, you know, the hyperspace fuel hits the ground
and implodes.
And then explodes, and it, like, brings the whole mountain down with it.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool right there.
Yeah. And then after that, they land, and Beckett just punches Han in the face. He's all like, do you have any clue who we're working for? And Han's like, no, who are you working for? Beckett tells Han that we work for, what was it?
Crimson Dawn.
And the leader of them
is Dryden Voss.
And he tells him that this was a big deal for us. He's going to have my head. He's going to kill me because there's no way we could ever pull a heist off like this again, because next time the Imperial Army will be right on here.
Yeah.
And Han's all like, you know, let me come with you and tell him what happened. He's like, no, he doesn't know your face. He only knows mine. You get out of here. You go live your life. And he's like, no, I want to do this. I want to take responsibility for this. So they go, and they contact him. And what's pretty cool about Dryden Voss is that his headquarters is a spaceship, and it could be anywhere he wants. So they land right there. They have to go to the front and check in. They lay all their weapons down, and they go up to an elevator to a party. And Beckett tells Han, he's like, keep your eyes down. Don't talk to anyone. No one here is your friend. Trust no one. And we see Dryden Voss, he's in his office, and he's got, like, these weird knife things that's powered by kyber crystals. It's kind of like a lightsaber knife thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, slits this guy's throat, puts the knife thing on a tray, and he's like, keep this, I might need it later. And he goes out to the party.
And as, you know, Han's trying to not, you know, pay attention to anybody, he's looking out a window, right?
Yeah.
And somebody comes up behind him, and it's Kira.
Yeah, taps him on the shoulder.
Yeah. And, you know, he's, like, freaking out about it. And he's asking, you know, how she got off the planet. And she doesn't really go into detail about it.
No,
she just... What does she tells him?
She tells him, she's like, it's all in the past, it's fine. You know, yeah, that was 3 years ago.
She doesn't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't really care at all. He's just happy to see her.
And then Beckett comes back.
He's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I told you not to, you know, talk to anybody.
And then he sees her.
And she already knows him. And, you know, she lets him know that they grew up together on Korea? Kalia?
I can't remember the name of
the planet. I can't.
Yeah. It was the plant from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. And, you know, Beckett knows, okay, well, they're friends. They didn't really, yeah, it doesn't matter.
And then we see
Dryden
come up to him. He's like, Beckett, how you doing? And stuff. Then he turns around, looks at Han. He's like, are you working with him? And Han's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, you know, meet me in my office. Come on. He tells Kira, come on too. And they go up to his office, and he sits him down, and he's all like, where's my stuff? And he's all like, they tell him what happened and stuff, and he just doesn't care. He goes all ham on him. He's like, I'm going to kill you now. And he snaps his fingers, and his guard starts coming towards him, and Han's like, no, we can make this up to you. We can go to this planet, get some unrefined hyperspace fuel, make the Kessel run, refine it, and then give it to you, and you don't have to kill us. We can do double the amount.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's just crazy. You can't do that. And then Kira's like, I know a guy with a fast ship. He can help us with it. And Beckett's like talking about he can plan it and stuff, and we can get this done for you. You don't have to kill us. We can live. We'll get it done. And so he's like, all right, I'll give you one chance. Do this for me, and you live. If you fail, you die. So they go, and Kira's like, I know a pilot. He's in a shady bar, but he'll help us out if we get his trust. So we go to, like, this bar thing. It's really rough condition. It's aliens are fighting in it. There's a robot fighting ring. Everyone's drinking and everything. And then it goes to a card game table.
And this is where we get our first shot of Lando Calrissian. And, you know, Kira tells Han that, you know, they don't have to, you know, they can just talk to him over this. And Han's like, well, I want to, you know, win it.
Yeah, he wants to win the card game.
And Han comes down and asks if he can join. And Lando tells him, yeah. And what do they say to each other right in there?
He's all like, do you know how to play? He's like, of course I do.
Yeah.
And he's all like, he lays money down. They start playing. He wins. He actually beats Lando. Lando's pretty surprised by that. And what he's trying to do is get Lando to bet everything, including his spaceship.
Yeah. And they play. It doesn't say how long they played. But some time's going by.
It's been a while, you can tell.
And they're, you know, winning back. Like, Lando will win, and Han will win, and Lando will win. And it comes down to it, and, you know, Lando's like, all right, lay down what you have. And Han, he lays down his cards, and he thinks he's won. Well, then Lando lays down his, and he has, I don't know what they call them cards, but he has the full, like, he wins automatically.
Yeah.
So he's able to win everything.
Yeah, before that, he tries to seal the deal. He's like, you know, I have this fancy spaceship, I'm betting it. And he's like, okay, I have my own too, I'll bet it. And then Lando ends up winning the card game, but it turns out he cheated.
Yeah.
He's got a special card tucked up his sleeve and a little gadget thing that shoots out cards when he needs it.
Yeah.
And even Han can tell that he just cheated because he's all like, that card shouldn't even been in the deck. It's like it's a different type of thing. So this is at this point we get to meet Lando's partner. Her name's L2... S3, I think.
Yeah, go ahead and I'll look it up.
And she's a type of robot who's sentient, who hates being called a droid, hates being a slave to anybody. She just wants robots to be free and treated equal. And Lando's just like, come on, we gotta go. And she's like, yes, master, you know, being all sarcastic with him and stuff. And he's telling her about what they're doing. And she's like, well, what if I don't want to do that? What if I want to do my own thing? She's like, what are you going to do? Shut me down? Do this, do that? He's like, no, no, no. You're a beautiful being on your own and everything. And so they all board the Millennium Falcon. They get ready to go. They're starting to do their heist.
All right, so in the next scene, we see Han in the driver's seat of the Falcon with Lando. And L3 comes up and kicks Lando, or kicks Han, sorry, out of the passenger seat. And, you know, says it's, you know, it's her seat, get out. And they show Han about going into hyperspace. And I'd say that's probably like the first time he's ever
done that. It looks like it was his first experience. Yeah, especially the way, like, it shows everything.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's done it before. He
seems surprised by it.
Yeah. And we get a scene of Beckett and Chewie playing this type of board game.
It's kind
of
like chess. In the episode 4, A New Hope, we see Ben playing it. And then in, I think it's Force Awakens, we see Finn playing the game with BB-8.
I guess I don't really remember too far. But, and, you know, Beckett's trying to tell him, you know, you got to anticipate what your opponent's going to do. And just telling him, you know, trying to help him out, really.
Always stay a few steps ahead and never trust anybody.
Yeah, and he's getting, and like, because Chewie's, you know, getting gamer's rage is what I'd say.
Yeah, because he tries to knock all the pieces off.
Yeah,
he's
like, they're all holograms, there. Yeah. And then we get like a lovable, you know, type of scene with Han and Kira. Han goes into Lando's bedroom.
Yeah, because...
The closet's got all his capes in it.
Yeah, and Kira's trying them
and
all
Kira's
on.
Kira's trying capes on, you know, and she's like, so many capes. And her and, you know, Han start to make out. And then Beckett arrives and, you know, says, you know, we don't got time for this. We got to, you know, plan out our job.
So, they do that. And then then they land on the planet that's got the hyperspace reserves. And they, it's Kira. She's presenting, Han and Chewie as slaves for them.
Yeah.
So they could get close to it.
Because it's like a mining planet.
Yeah. And they take slaves in to mine the hyperspace fuel.
Yeah.
So we see L3 and Kira and Beckett in disguise with Han and Chewie in handcuffs going inside because the aliens agree, okay, you can come in. We'll talk deals. We'll take the slaves onto the pit.
Yeah.
So they separate. L3... Beckett and Kira go with the head guy to like a master control room.
Yeah.
And then the head guy and Kira are about to begin a meeting, and Beckett has to stay outside. It's like a room blocked with a big blast door.
Yeah, and they won't let Beckett in.
Yeah. And then we see Han and Chewie knock out the guys that they're with, and this little protocol droid that's working with the miners sees it and starts to alert, and then L3 takes off. She like smacks it in the head, and then Beckett comes out and like kills all the guards in the room with his blasters. And then L3 takes off the restraining bolt on it.
Yeah.
The protocol droid, which makes it sentient and alive pretty much like her. And like they shut off the alarms, and the little droid just like boop boom and beeping to L3. I guess he's saying like, "What do I do now?"
And you know? Then yeah, she just tells him
she's like, "Go free your brothers and sisters. I don't care. Do something."
Yeah, and that's what he exactly does. And it's kind of like a big like robot revolt sort of.
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of be like L3 and Korg from Thor Ragnarok would do really good together. Like yeah. They like starting revolutions.
Yeah.
We get this funny scene where all the robots go crazy and start stomping the monitors and stuff. And there's just a bunch of chaos in the mines because one of the robots turns off all the other collars for the other prisoners.
And
so they're free.
Everything, yeah.
And we see Han and them trying to run through the chaos. And Chewie hears a noise. He looks over and there's more Wookiees over there.
Yeah.
And so he like stops and dead in tracks. And Han's like, come on, Chewie, we got a job to do. And Chewie's looking that way. And he's like, all right, fine, you do that. I'm going to go on. And then he turns around. He's all like, here, take this, and he throws the stick that he has at him. He's like, I hope we meet again someday, and he takes off running to the hyperspace reserves, and we see Chewie going and attacking the other guys that's trying to put the Wookiees back in handcuffs.
Yeah, and as he, you know, makes it down to the reserve, he fights his way through like a couple of them, does he not?
Yeah.
Through a couple of the other guards, and he makes it down there, and what he has to do is he needs 12,
was it? Yeah, 12 of those canisters.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he can't be too fast with them, and if they hit a certain degree,
they'll blow up.
They'll explode.
Yeah, and he can't drop them on the floor either.
Yeah, so he's having to be really careful.
And they're heavy.
And he puts one down, and he's like, all right, I got one, and then Beckett's like, all right, 11 more to go. And he's like, you know, like, crap.
And they're heavy, too.
Yeah, and he gets all of them on, and he's trying to push them, you know, uphill, sort of, is what it looked like.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, down in the mine. He's trying to push it up, and he's having a hard time, and here comes, you know, Chewie and this other Wookiee. And they, you know, help hold off the guards, and Chewie helps him out. And they get him outside, and everybody's, you know, coming out in the middle of the mine, sort of, and robots are, like, fighting back against the guards, and all this, like, chaos is going on. And here we see L3, like, coming out, like, you know, or what does she say?
She says, revolution!
Yeah,
this, like, is fun, I'm glad we took this job.
Yeah, and
Lando's all like, come on, let's go, L3, because he sees all the commotion going on. He's trying to do a diary while they're in there.
Yeah.
Saying he's on the adventure.
Yeah, and,
The Wookiees come out and start fighting. Then Kira comes out. Beckett comes out, and like they push the canisters on board.
Yeah, they get all the canisters on.
And Kira and all them's like, come on, we gotta go, come on.
And the guards start loading like the big blasters.
Yeah, they're shooting the Falcon.
You know, trying to make sure that it can't take off. And we get like, it wasn't really sad to me, but it might be to some.
Yeah, she wasn't really, they didn't really build her up as well.
Yeah, L3 gets shot.
Yeah, pretty much destroyed.
And, yeah, and Lando, like, freaks out, and he takes off towards her, and he's trying to carry her back, and he accidentally rips her in half, because, I mean, she's already really messed
up. Yeah, she's, like, falling apart. So, all he's got is her head, right?
Yeah, like, her top part of her, you know, abdomen and her head. And he gets shot, and he's trying to help, and Han goes out there and tries to help. And then Chewie comes out and picks Lando up carries him onto the ship. And now Ganon, and they're actually able to take off.
Yeah, this is the first time Han actually gets to fly the Falcon. And he's got Kira in the passenger seat. And she doesn't know what she's doing because he tells her to hit the buttons and she don't know. And Chewie, like, moves her and he gets behind the wheel. And they go up into space and Han's like, how do you know how to fly? And Chewie pretty much tells him he's 190 years old.
90 years old.
Yeah. And, like, they're going to go off to the Kessel Run, try to get to the planet, because they have to get it, what is it, fertilized? Something like that. They have to get the hyperspace fluid put in this stuff to make it.
It technically breaks it down and makes it, like, smaller canisters of it.
Yeah, so it's
and
not
where it doesn't
big.
Really blow up if you just...
Makes it stable, that's what I'm trying to say, yeah. And as they're going through the little hole thing that, because the Kessel Run, you can't go outside into the smog or you'll pretty much die because there's who knows what out there.
Yeah.
And an Imperial Star Destroyer comes out in front of them.
Yeah.
Someone called the Empire on them because that planet was Empire controlled. And Han's like, we're fine. No one's going to send TIE fighters after a little ship like this. And, well, yeah. They do send TIE fighters out.
Yeah.
And so Han's like freaking out. And you don't want to turn back because the canisters are about to explode. They're really close to it.
Beckett looks at it and they're like turning red.
That's where they had to shake them up, getting them on the ship and everything. And so Han's all like, well, let's just go through the fog. So they take off through the fog and stuff. And it's going pretty good. There's just a bunch of asteroids. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this giant monster thing shows up and tries eating them.
Yeah.
And they lure it to a black hole, pretty much.
Yeah, and we, like, also where the, you know, Lando said the only person that really knows how to get through this is L3. because he said that she has the best
navigational system.
So they technically take her, what would you call it?
They take her pretty much main motherboard.
Yeah, and they put it in the ship. So therefore, it'll show them exactly where to go. And as this monster's attacking them, Han kind of leads it towards a black hole. And it's starting to get sucked down in. And he's trying to, you know, give it the Falcon everything it's got to push it forward and not go down with it. And they come to the conclusion the only thing they can do is take a sample of the
hyperspace
fluid and put it in the fusion core. And
they can't put too much or overload the system and blow up.
They have to put just the right amount. And well, Beckett knows what to do. So he goes and does that. And he takes a syringe with him and is able to get a little bit. And then he goes down the fusion core. And they count, because they're trying to line it up just right. And he counts down. And as soon as he pushes it down in there, well, the Falcon starts to take off. And then everything shuts down.
Yeah, overloads.
And they start to fall back. And then, just out of nowhere, boom, it takes off again.
Yeah, it pushes this giant squid monster-like thing into the black hole.
Yeah.
And they get out of it, and they go to the planet. And it's pretty funny, because it's a big reference, always in the Star Wars universe, about Han beating the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. Yeah. And so they're unloading the hyperspace fluid, and he looks at one of the natives on the planet, and he's like, yeah, I just made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. And the guy's just like, he just looks at him like okay. And then he goes off. And Lando comes up to Han. He's all like, I will tell you a time and a place. You meet me with my new ship. And I don't ever want to see you again. And he walks away. And the Falcon's all destroyed at this point. Like, it looks like it's in rough shape. It looks like the shape Han gets it in.
Yeah.
Which that was what a lot of people complained about. They said the Falcon looks too new for Han to have. And he wouldn't let it go to crap. But now we see why. Yeah. And, you know, they get the hyperspace fixed in the containers and stuff. And they're about to call, what is his name?
Oh, crap. I can't remember what his name is. Is it Paul Bettany, please? Droidy?
Yeah. They're about to call him, and then the
Beckett is like, all right, it's time to call Dryden Voss. And when they do, or as they do,
yeah, like right after,
they get done calling him, you know, let him know they got it, Envy's Nest shows up, and they're the pirates from the heist scene. And well, she starts walking up, well, I just kind of spoiled it, the leader starts walking up to Beckett, takes off its mask, and it's a girl, and I don't remember if she said her name.
I can't remember
all name. We know is, you know, her, she goes by Envy's Nest. And she lets Beckett and all of them know that Crimson Dawn, which is, you know, Beckett's organization he works with, and Dryden Voss's whole operation, ruined her home planet, and all the people who are part of her gang, you know, are from different planets, and they've ruined all their planets.
Yeah, they're trying to take the hyperspace fuel to help the rebellion.
Yeah, they're gonna help. They're gonna use the money to help the rebellion, and just a lot of. I'll let you talk about it. A lot of crazy crap starts happening.
Yeah, it's emotional in that scene, because Han, actually, this is the first time you see him think about someone else other than himself.
Yeah.
And Beckett's all like, well, I can't be a part of this. I know a gangster on Tatooine who's building a crew. I know he can protect me from Dryden.
Yeah.
And everyone else. So he's all like, I'm going to head on there. You do whatever you want to do, Han. You know, get your ship. Get your girl, do whatever, I don't care. He's like, I'm done with this, and he leaves.
Lets him know when it's all over to come find him.
Yeah. And so Beckett's gone.
Yeah.
And all we got is Chewie, Han,
Kira.
And Kira.
And his Envy Nest.
Yeah. And Inverness hides because the Crimson Dawn ship comes. And they all get on it. And the Cure lays down her weapon. Han's all like, I was never loaded in the first place. And Chewie, I don't think he carries a weapon at all in this movie.
The only part we see him with is the rebellion part with the robots and everything.
Yeah. And so they got the hyperspace containers, and they take it up to the boss. And he's all happy about it. And he's like, take it out, let me see it. And Han, like, he's like, you sure? He's like, this stuff's dangerous. He's like, I don't ask twice.
Then he takes it out. And, you know, he shows it to Dryden, and Dryden's, you know, questioning him, like, how'd you make it look real? And Han's like, what are you talking about? It's the real thing. And he starts talking about, well, I have, like,
an associate.
Associate who will tell me literally anything. And Han automatically, you know,
refers
to, to Kira.
Because she's like his lieutenant, right-hand man. She's right there with him.
And she's like, I didn't do it. And the door opens, and Beckett walks in.
Yeah, Beckett told him, because Beckett knew that Dryden would stop at nothing to kill him.
And
he's like, I'm sorry, kid. I told you, trust no one.
Yeah. And he goes to reach down on the, like, the opening part of the case that all the hyperspace fuel's in. And they're like, no, don't do that.
Hands up where I see him.
And we find out he hit his gun down there. That's how he got his blaster in.
Yeah.
And what does it happen next?
Beckett really quickly kills both of Dryden's guards. And Beckett's all like, I know you have your best elite men down there looking for the real hyperspace fluid. And Dryden's confused. And we see Dryden's men find the Envy's nest and open up their containers, and it's empty.
Yeah.
Han has the real stuff with him all along.
Yeah.
And Beckett's all like,
you know, they got the whole Inverness group surrounded, and the other people on the planet are trying to help Inverness.
Yeah.
And so when they get the who looks like the boss to take her mask off, it's just some other lady.
It's an old woman, like, and really then, old.
Out of nowhere, here comes everybody else, and
they surround them.
They surround them and take them out.
Then back on the Crimson Dawn's ship, Beckett, after he killed the guards, he's all like, I wanted to be the only one with the gun in the room. He points the gun at Chewie. He's like, put the stuff in the container and come with me.
Yeah.
And Dryden's all upset about it. He's all like, you know, you were my friend. I trusted you and everything. And Beckett's all like, it's just business.
Yeah.
And he takes the stuff and he leaves. And then as soon as the elevator door closes, Han reaches for his gun.
Dryden goes for his
kyber knives.
Yeah.
And Kira, what does she go for?
I think she just hides it first.
I think she does.
And then she ends up grabbing the sword.
Yeah, we have like this big fight sequence between Han and
Dryden.
And Dryden's got the upper hand. He's got Han on the ground, knocks his blaster out of his hands, knife up to his throat. And Kira comes through and she stabs him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she stabs him with the sword, and he's dead at that point. Like, he falls over on the floor, and Han's all like, okay, I'll go get Beckett. And Kira's like, okay, I'll stay here. I'm going to raid the ship, you know, get whatever things we need. I know where all the money's
at. All the valuables, and we can use this.
We can use this ship to escape, and, you know, we'll be free forever, Han.
Yeah.
So Han's like, okay, I'll be back.
She's like, I'll be right behind you.
Yeah.
And so Han takes off to find Beckett and Chewie, and right here is where we get a part that is really, it really, like, blows your mind, is Kira takes off Dryden Voss's ring, and she takes it over to his desk, and she puts in this thing and twists it, and basically, like, it...
The curtains are dropping down, it gets dark in the room.
Yeah, and hologram pops up, and it's a guy talk, and she's telling him, hey, I have, you know, all this hyperspace fluid.
They got it, but Beckett killed everyone.
Yeah, they have it, but Beckett killed everyone, and, you know, even Dryden's dead.
And he's all like, no one man could do this alone.
Yeah.
Who's he working with? She goes,
nobody.
Nobody,
just
I don't know.
And it turns over, and it's Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Which, God.
If you don't watch the Clone Wars TV series and just watch the movies, a lot of people would be surprised by this. They're like, what? Darth Maul died in episode 1.
Yeah.
But it turns out in the Clone Wars series, he survived through sheer hate for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And his species, the organs are up in the upper part of their bodies where they can live. And he gets robotic legs. And his brother joins him as his apprentice. They're going to kill the Palpatine and become the new Sith Lords. But Palpatine ends up killing his brother and then leaving him for dead. Which he obviously survives and creates the group Crimson Dawn.
Yeah. And she, you know, tells him, okay, I'll be on. Like, he says, you come to me.
On Dysuvir, which, fun fact, is actually Darth Maul's home world planet.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And when he pulls out the lightsaber, tell him what you found out about that lightsaber.
That lightsaber, I noticed it right away. Like, at first I thought it might have been an Inquisitor lightsaber, but after I looked at it deeply, I remembered in Star Wars Rebels, Darth Maul's in that too, it's actually his cane saber, because his robotic legs are starting to give out on him,
yeah,
and he needs the cane saber, and it makes him look feeble, so people will attack him, but it shows that he's still powerful.
Yeah.
And he shows display of the Force too, which is still strong in him in both the animated and movie universes.
Yeah. And then it shoots back over to Han, and he finds Chewie and Beckett, and, you know, he's telling him, you know, you don't have to do this, you know, all this stuff could be different.
We were a family.
Yeah, we were a family. And Beckett holds the gun up at him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's starting to get his gun.
Yeah,
and Han shows off his quick fire skills by going, bam.
Yeah, he just automatically shoots him.
Yeah, Beckett and tells him what?
What is it he says?
It's like, that's the smartest movie you've ever made or something like that.
Yeah, and he tells him again not to, like, I always told you not to trust somebody or trust nobody, didn't he?
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, and he, you know, it's sort of a sad scene right there because, you know, Han found him as a friend and family.
Yeah, more of a father figure.
Yeah, and so he's holding him in his hands as he's dying. And him and Chewie take off back towards everybody else. Well, sorry, before they go back towards everybody else, they see the Crimson Dawn ship leaving.
Yeah, it takes off and takes off.
You know, Han just watches it leave because, I mean, there's nothing he can really do. So he knows Kira must have done something.
Yeah, and you can tell he's kind of heartbroken about it because he spent 3 years after he left the planet, and even more years before that, loving this girl.
Yeah.
And just to find out,
she was playing the
role. Yeah. And a lot of people always say, and throughout the movie, especially Beckett, about she's got a horrible past. You know, she's done terrible things for Crimson Dawn, and you don't want to mess with her.
Yeah. And him and Chewie go back towards Infest Nest. And they give her all the hyperspace fluid. And before they leave, she actually gives them one of them, which is worth... Or she gives them... What is it she gives them?
She gives them a lot of money.
It was like 30,000?
I think so.
She said something like that.
I think it's something what Crimson Dawn was going to pay them for it.
Yeah.
They only got to split it two ways now.
Yeah, and it basically cuts back over.
Then, but before that, she asked him, she goes, are you sure you don't want to join the rebellion? And he just turns around and he's like, that's not my thing. I don't want to fight. I've already fought for the Empire. I don't want to fight for the rebellion.
Yeah.
So it goes, and I'm guessing it's, I'm going to say it's like a few months later.
Yeah, months. I wouldn't say a year or nothing. And it's on another planet?
Yeah, it's like a jungle type planet.
But it's, we come to another spot where, you know, it's like a space bar, basically. Or some kind of club type
thing. Yeah, it's like a... I guess it's like another bar like the other one. Cause
yeah, but it's not like the one with the fighting in it and stuff.
More chill.
Yeah, and here we get to see again Lando. And he comes up and he, you know, gives Han a hug. And that's when Han sees the card trigger thing on his arm.
Yeah.
That he used to cheat Han out of the game in the first one.
Yeah, he disables it. And Lando thinks Han's mad at him because on the planet where they stabilized the hyperspace fluid, Han told the Emphasis, before he found out they were good, that we have hired men on that ship and they'll come and kill you at any time that we snap our finger. And you just see Lando ditch him.
Yeah.
He leaves. So Lando thinks Han's going to kill him for ditching him. And he sees that thing on his wrist and he goes, buddy, and like pulls him in, gives him a hug, and he takes something out of it, like the lucky card.
He takes the card, yeah.
Like, makes the game fair, and he's all like, you know, let's just play a round of game cards, you know, pass is pass, let's just move on.
Yeah. And they're going at it.
Just like before.
Yeah, before, and a couple turns, like, each person wins, and they come down to the last one, and, you know, him and Chewie are kind of like, you know, oh, we don't got this. Like, he shows Chewie the cards, and Chewie's like, oh, God, you know, but made that kind of
face, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, God. And Han shows his cards first? No.
Yeah.
Han shows his cards first, and, you know, everybody's like, oh, God, like, oh, God.
Like, that's, like, the best hand.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Lando's laughing.
And Lando's laughing, like, hi. Again, and he, you know,
flicks his
he
wrist.
Puts his arm down and goes to trigger the other card. And it doesn't come out. And he's like, you can see his eyes like, oh, God. Like,
stops laughing. And
oh, shit.
Han's like, do we have a problem? And Lando's like, no, not at all.
And he puts down his hand, and he lost.
Yeah, he bet the Falcon and the ship that Han gave him.
Yeah.
Which Han never had
and
that
basically
ship.
Basically all the money.
And we see Han after that, like, pull up the card. He's like, so you would have won with this.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
And so the last scene we see in the film is Han and Chewie and the Falcon, and they're about to take off into space, and we see them pull down the hyperspace thing, and they're taking off to what we can presume is Tatooine.
Yeah. Okay, so then, you know, the credits roll, and, you know, how'd you feel about the movie after it all ended?
I feel it was a good 7 out of 10. The story kind of moved fast for me. I feel like the whole first part, like the first train heist part, trying to build a family moments with them, and they killed the characters way too fast.
Yeah, that
like, I feel like they should have lasted a while. Yeah. Just same thing with L3. Like, she didn't grow on me because she died really fast.
Yeah.
And they kind of made her too feministic, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I see what you're talking, because she's more of like, you know, like, you can't control me.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm my own person.
Yeah, and she's, you know, she's a robot.
And even though Lando was pansexual for her, they played it off in a good way.
Yeah, they didn't, like, shove it in your face. It was kind of, you know, she
mentioned
she was
it
talking
once.
To Kira when she was driving flying the Falcon.
Yeah, making sure it wasn't crashing.
And Lando wasn't there. And it was her and Kira, and she's like, do you see how, like, Lando loves me? And she's like, yeah, see, you see what you're talking about, yeah, you know, just, she's like, but I don't love him, though. But, I mean, you can tell, yeah.
Because she's like, I'm a robot, I'm not allowed to love
him. Yeah. And Lando, in the part where they're on the mining planet, and he's making his diary,
yeah,
like, segment, he, you know, says, me and L3 are in this really lovely place or something like that,
yeah.
And everything starts happening. And you can tell, you know, he's got some feelings for her, especially when she dies.
Yeah, because as soon as he sees her get shot, he takes off the Falcon. Like, that's the only moment you see him put himself in danger.
That just automatically, you know, is something he couldn't handle. But I'd say for me the movie would be, to me, it's like 8. Yeah, I'm with you on the story part and going too fast. And I don't agree with the guy that played Han Solo.
Yeah.
But
he kind of played it off a little well.
Yeah, but just the whole movie as a whole, like, it's really awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, at the end, I feel like they left it open for a sequel.
Do you think there'll be a second one?
I feel like if this does good, then the director will make a second one. Because he left a lot of things out. Like, questions a lot of people want to know. How Han met Jabba. Which he kind of takes off at the end of that to him.
Yeah.
Why does Boba Fett hate Han Solo so much?
That's one of the... We forgot to mention.
What?
How, at the end, when they were getting ready to take off in the Falcon, Lando asked him where he's going.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he knew of a gangster on Tatooine.
Yeah, he knew of a gangster who's building a crew.
Yeah, and that's where it all ended. But, yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
And, a lot of people want to know exactly what Han did to Jabba to make him hate him so much before the fourth episode. See, like, I feel like he left that open so he can make a second one.
Yeah.
Also, too, the whole Kira thing was unresolved. Like, she just took off.
Yeah, so they have to add something.
And Maul, I feel like Maul's got a big plan ready, and it's going to happen in the second one.
Yeah. So you think
which will lead up to Maul, like,
the main villain of the second one?
Because I feel like he will be, but I just hope they don't let Han meet him. Because in episode 4, Han never knew what the Force was like. Like,
yeah.
When Ben talks about it, he's all like, oh, that mystical, magical stuff.
Yeah, you know? I kind of agree there. That really wouldn't work, because then, you know, there's no way Han could take on Maul.
Yeah, and also in Rebels, the first season takes place 5 years before the first episode.
Yeah.
So it's 2 years before episode 4. And, we see Maul in it, and he's lonely. Like, he's got no one with him.
Yeah.
He's an abandoned old man. So I feel like whatever he's going to do in this movie messes up, and everyone leaves him. His criminal organization falls apart. I feel like if they do make a second one, it needs to be a war between Jabba's crew and his crew.
Yeah, I agree. So how did you feel about Alden in Rage, something like that?
That's the one that played Han, right?
Yeah.
I feel like his acting could have been a little bit better. And I feel like if they make a second one, they need to express to him Han's a cocky character.
Yeah.
Make him more cocky.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I like his acting. It was great.
Rated.
6.
So, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Donald Glover.
Donald Glover was a good Lando. Lando's a flamboyant character. Lando has only cared about riches and stuff.
Yeah.
So I gotta give him 9.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'd say an 8. Just to the fact of, I'm not trying to be a dig, but just to the fact of him being pansexual.
Yeah.
And that wasn't meant to be that kind of thing. That's the only thing that gets me. But, I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it.
Yeah.
Like, I like how they played it off, but it's just fact of that, you know.
Yeah.
Emilia Clarke.
That's the one played Kira, right?
Yeah.
Didn't really do much. So I can't really give it a good rating. I'm going to give her like a 5. Like,
we're just...
Everything she said pretty much was the same. Like, every time Han would ask her...
I'm never going to leave you. Yeah. Like, stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, I love you, but I leave you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about what I did, but I love you. Now kiss me, Han. Don't kiss me, Han.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson as Beckett.
Now, that character feels like the old man Han Solo that we should have had in The Force Awakens.
It's just the way he...
Yeah, he's like a space cowboy. Yeah, like, that's how it felt. Yeah.
Because, you know, he plays what? Plays Tallahassee in Zombieland.
Yeah.
And he's not a very country character, but he's also a badass, but he's also funny at the same time.
I feel like the actor grew up watching Westerns, and this movie really showed that.
Yeah, because part of him. He shows his gunslinging side. Yeah. You know? Cause especially in the part where, you know, Han first meets him.
Yeah.
He's on top of that little bank, and he's, like, flipping guns.
He's
and,
got
like,
two pistols. All dudes, that's all he's got. And everyone else got rifles, and they can't do anything.
Yeah. To me, I'm going to say 9.5.
Yeah, I feel like a 9 out of 10 is good for him.
I got to give him that. Even though we didn't really get to see her much, Thandi Newton.
Val, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really care much for her character.
She was an asshole, to be honest. Yeah. We're not going to have to rate her because, you know,
we didn't really see her much. Yeah. Just like the Rico guy. I thought that character was funny. Yeah, Rio.
Yeah.
I feel like he was funny.
I wish they wouldn't have killed him off so quick.
I know. I wish he would have survived until the end.
Yeah.
And then died in the battle with Beckett or like, we would have seen him turn against Beckett or something.
Yeah. Like, you know, in that last sequence right there, you know, him want to take the money or him want to be with Han and Chewie.
Yeah. Because he felt like he was growing on them.
Yeah. Skip over her. Paul Bettany is driving.
I feel like he did really good as a gangster, as a gangster boss.
You know,
it showed his ruthless side the first time we've seen him.
You know, it's got to be hard on him too, because you know
he plays a hero. War, yeah,
and then coming out and he has to play this, you know, hateful ass
villain,
and you know, because you know, in Avengers he plays, you know, a sweet,
yeah, Vision, sweet little lovable
kind,
Vision
kind of dude. You know, what would you rate him?
I give him an 8.
I'd say 8, yeah. That's pretty much it for the big main characters.
What about the girl that voiced L3? What would you give her? And played L3?
Oh, if I could find that one. I think...
What would you give her acting skills and overall character?
I would... yeah, Phobe... I don't know how to say that. What would you say that?
Where is it at?
Phobe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but her, her acting, she did really good to me, to be honest. Like, I didn't like her character, but, you know, she's just so outstanding. Yeah. And
like, what I liked about it was she was a robot, but she was also a two human robot.
Yeah. I would have to give her 7.
Yeah.
So, some Easter eggs that we spotted in the movie, when it's Han, Beckett, and Val are all walking back to the camp after they've, you know, spotted the, train track and all they're gonna do, she's like, Han's not with them.
No, it's just her
and Beckett, and, she's like, why couldn't we have gotten the twin sisters, which I don't know exactly who are. I think she called them the twin sisters anyways.
I feel like they're assassins. Like,
yeah, some type of assassins. Or she says, like, we could have got Bosk.
Who's a lizard-like bounty hunter.
Lizard-like bounty hunter. And to me, that was more, like, I spotted that right on, and that was dope. Like, I love, you know, the fact of them bringing him up and, you know, him having...
Yeah, he's a not really known character unless you know exactly who he is.
Yeah, unless you paid attention and stuff. Or,
he's actually, you know, a pretty cool bounty hunter.
Is it Battlefront 2 he's
in? Yeah, he's in Battlefront 2.
Yeah, that was just a cool Easter egg to me.
And his extended books are pretty good, too.
Yeah.
He's actually Boba Fett's best friend.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then another Easter egg that we spotted was when they go to the planet to get the hyperspace fuel, we see Beckett. He's disguised. It's actually the costume that Lando wears and... Return of the Jedi, when he invades Jabba's palace, which is a pretty cool nod to that, knowing that Lando has been in sticky situations like that before where he needs to disguise himself. And then, again, Darth Maul's cane saber, which is a big hint that where this movie takes place, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it takes place pretty much right before we see him in Rebels.
And cutting back to the first scene when we see Han get in the vehicle type or the rider type thing, he puts dice on the mirror.
Yeah.
Which is the dice we've seen, you know, in multiple occasions. And every other, you know, rider he gets in, ship he gets in, he puts those dice on the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, you know, that's something Han does to show, you know, it's his.
Yeah, a nice little nod to it.
Yeah, and it's just like, it makes you go back and think of, Last Jedi?
Yeah.
When Luke gives Leia those,
dice,
because as we all know, Han died.
Yeah, so, in Force Awakens.
Yeah, and so it's kind of the thing that... Did she... She knew before, right?
Yeah, she knew about the dice.
No, did she know that he was dead before he gave her the dice? I can't remember.
Who?
Leia.
Oh, yeah, Leia knew Luke... Han was dead and died on the Starkiller base.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Because Rey told her.
Yeah, okay.
And what's also cute about it, too, like, a good emotional moment about, too, is in Episode 8, Ben notices the dice right away. Like, he knows what the dice is from.
Yeah.
So... we know that from what we've seen so far, and hopefully what we learn in the next movie about why the Falcon was on Jakku, is that Ben's been on the Falcon before.
Yeah.
Like, he's been with his dad.
Yeah.
And he knows what those dice are.
Yeah.
So that'd be a good family nod moment in that movie. And in which, thinking back to The Force Awakens and seeing this movie, Han didn't really listen to Rio's words about not dying alone, because we know that he's not been with Leia in a while, and he's pretty much given up on Ben.
Yeah.
And then he dies at the hands of Ben. But hopefully we get a second movie to this. Seeing hopefully more of Boba Fett in this movie, the next one.
Oh yeah, that would be great.
And it'd be pretty nice if this movie was a setup to maybe not even a Solo 2, but we get to see a Boba Fett movie with Solo in it.
Yeah.
A Maul movie with Solo in it.
Yeah.
Like, but not meeting Maul.
Yeah, but just, you know, somewhere in there we see him.
Yeah.
Or at least see the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Knowing that
that
these movies take place one after another.
Yeah. And, I mean, it would just be something we'd like to see.
Yeah, it'd be good to build it up to, you know, most people, like myself, has read the Extended Universe books.
Yeah.
And keep up with the comics.
Yeah.
Well, casual moviegoers, they want to see more now. And the ending tells that, you know, we left it open. If we can come back to this project, we can. If not, then figure it out on your own what happens next.
Yeah.
But there already is a confirmed Boba Fett movie on its way. Apparently, there's a Lando movie in the works.
I
just don't feel like there's enough material.
Does he
material.
Have enough behind him, yeah, to have a movie?
I don't know.
Like, don't get me wrong. I like Lando as a character and everything. And if they were to get Donald Glover to play him, that'd be even cooler in the movie. But it just, to me, he doesn't have enough story, which, I mean, he might. Because I don't really read the comics of Star Wars or nothing.
Really, his biggest achievement in life was becoming the leader of Cloud City.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there's enough behind it to build a movie.
Yeah, that's not enough to have a movie.
Maybe Lando featuring Han Solo and stuff. Like,
or
showing
just keep
that
him
they've been
as
on
a,
adventures.
Like a side character.
Yeah.
Like a sidekick
to
Han. Or, you know, have him in other movies where, like, hey, we need this. Okay, well, I know where to get it.
Yeah.
A guy named Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
You know,
so
that
showing that their friendship builds up together so that by the time, you know, we see episode 5, they're already good friends.
Yeah. But, all in all,
it was a good movie. It's a good Star Wars movie. You know, if you're a fan, it's a good movie. It's not the best Star Wars movie,
yeah.
But it's also not Attack of the Clones,
yeah.
Bad Star Wars movie.
Yeah, it's one of those things we've seen reviews from people all over, like, God, I hated this movie. God, I love this movie, actually.
Yeah. It just depends on your movie type.
It depends on, yeah, like, what you like. Like I said, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. And I liked the movie. Like, I didn't enjoy it, but I had fun. Like, it's a fun experience just to see more backstory behind Han Solo.
Yeah. So, rating on the movie entirely.
Overall rating, I got to give it a 7 out of 10.
I have to say 8.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
The CG was good in the movie. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The CG was amazing. I just feel like a few of the things shouldn't have been in the movie.
Yeah.
Like the whole trying to build up a
family. A
family with the first heist scene, which went away really quick.
And the killing of the characters.
Han not ever being in his original outfit. Like,
oh, yeah.
The white shirt.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about.
What's that?
In the family scene they're having, when Beckett is taking apart the rifle, and he gets it down and he hands Han the blaster. Because, you know, he takes off the attachments, basically. And it's Han's original blaster.
Yeah.
That we never talked about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He hands, like, that's one thing that makes Beckett more of a father figure to Han is he hands Han the blaster. Like, he gives him his original blaster.
Yeah.
And that's the blaster Han keeps up until he dies.
Yeah, pretty much. But I really enjoyed this movie.
And what's a few things you didn't enjoy about the movie?
L3, like, being a lot more feministic and, well,
robots are better than humans.
I guess you could say. But, like I said, I still liked her, sort of.
Yeah.
I
feel like there could have been more build-ups with stuff, and at least, maybe, an after-credit scene, or before the end-credit scene.
Oh, yeah, an after-credit scene would be way better.
You know, I would love to see what they could do with Jabba, like make him look more realistic with today's CG.
Or at least, like, have his laugh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we see Han entering some, like, a bar.
Jabba's palace.
Yeah, and we hear, you know, the original laugh of Jabba, and we're yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we're like, shit, yeah, we know what's
going on. Yeah, we know what's going on.
But not putting an after-credit scene in there was like, well, like, fuck, what are they doing? Like,
yeah. It's good. But, like, it would have been good to see one, but it's also good that they didn't do one. Because it's a Star Wars movie. It's not a Marvel movie.
Yeah, but it's still, like, that'd be, like, a good way to...
I think the only Star Wars movie to have an after-credit scene is Episode 1. It's not really a scene. It's just as soon as the words go off the screen.
Uh-huh.
In the original cut, you hear Vader's voice.
Yeah.
You know, the breathing, you know.
Yeah.
Well... And the reissued one they did in 2012, we hear Darth Maul saying Kenobi.
Yeah. So, not that I liked the movie more than you. What did you not like?
You know, the whole building up characters, killing them off really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, Rogue One did really good with that.
Yeah.
Even though they all died in the end, that's what I really liked about Rogue One.
Yeah.
I felt like the lightsaber scene with Darth Maul was a little. We put a lightsaber in the movie.
Like you said, yeah, they put...
So that no one would say, well, this movie didn't have a lightsaber in it. Well, yeah, it did. He just pulled out a lightsaber.
Yeah.
I just didn't like how it was paced out. It just felt like it went a little too fast than what it should have been.
Yeah.
And plus, they made Han one of the luckiest guys in the universe. Like, everything that could have happened that was lucky happened to him.
Yeah.
Like, he just so happened to find gangsters so that he can escape the Imperial Army. He so happened he found his best friend in a pit and became best friends right away with him.
Yeah, that's one of those things I didn't like.
He so happened made the Kessel Run in 12... Well, you know, that's true about that. But, like, he's just so naturally talented behind the...
Yeah.
They made it ship controls, like,
yeah.
It didn't feel like he was been flying a ship his whole life, and he's really good at it. This was his first actual time behind one.
Yeah. So, that's about wraps it up.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like this podcast, share it with your friends. And if you want to leave us feedback,
just message us on here.
Yeah, leave us a voice message. If you would like to co-host anytime,
you know,
let us know.
Yeah, just...
If you want us both to co-host with you, we'll have to log on to our separate accounts on here.
Yeah, but we'll definitely try to do it for you. Yeah. Unless we're together like we usually are.
Yeah. Then we'll co-host.
Yeah, of course. But hope you guys really enjoyed this. I know we had a great time, you know, making this.
Yes. The next big movie we got reviewing coming out is Ant-Man and the Wasp, yeah.
But that comes out, like, what?
That comes out in a few weeks, actually.
Is it a few weeks? Yeah. I thought it was July.
Is it July? It might be. I don't know.
But
we'll look up the date. But that's one of the next major big movies.
Yeah, probably the next thing we'll talk about will be, like, you know, trailers and stuff that we've seen. New stuff coming out, like Spawn.
Yeah.
But we don't want to get in that right now.
Now, next week might be a little spotty. We're going on vacation, actually.
Yes.
But we will try to upload and stuff.
We're going to go... Well, let's talk real quick. We figured out our time schedule.
Yes.
It's going to be daily vlogs, or daily vlogs, daily podcasts. And
Except
Saturday and Sunday.
That's what days we work our normal jobs.
Yes. And
we'll try to do movie reviews every Monday.
Yeah, Mondays after we watch it.
Yeah.
And Yeah, that's really all we got to say.
Well, Wednesdays or Thursdays, we'll try to do comic book stuff.
Yeah. But we'll make some other time to kind of catch everybody up. But as of now, just know we're doing daily podcasts.
All right. All right, just to recap, Mondays is movie review days. We'll review new movies on Mondays, old movies on Mondays, in case new movies don't come out. Tuesdays is any news that came out throughout the week, pop culture-wise. Wednesdays, comic book days, where we go over the latest new issues coming out, what you should buy, what we're buying, what our pull list is, what we read. And we want to know what you read, too.
Yeah. Thursdays will be, video games. And Fridays will be, like, a free day for where we literally talk about anything.
Yeah. We can talk about messages if you send us messages on here. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcast or Comcast, we're on the Anchor app, spoiler alert. Our picture is the same thing as the picture is on there.
Yeah, we got Overcast, Stitcher.
We're not Stitcher yet.
We're not Stitcher yet?
No.
Crap. Okay.
Overcast, Comcast.
Apple Podcasts.
Google Play Podcast, possibly. I haven't checked that yet.
I think we are. But, like we said, tell your friends. Get, people in to watch us. We're doing this for fun, really.
Yeah. We don't really care about getting paid. If we start getting paid, that's cool. But other than that, we're just doing this for fun. We're just two guys reviewing what we love, talking about what we love. We want to find people that know about what we love or want to hear about.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening if you've made it this far. And again, just share it with anybody, your friends, family, even your pet.
God, yeah. hope you enjoyed this. We really did. And this has been another episode of
Spoiler Alert, featuring Geeks Galaxy
and Dope Cereal.
All right. Take it easy, everybody. Bye.